Right, this is Pure Decking show number 370 for Thursday. I don't really care what day it is. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and putting 3D printers next to the computer so I can get high from the plastic fumes. I'm Morps. I'm drinking, what is this? Eagle Rare, I think. And tonight we have Madman. What's up, Madman?
Not much. Have you tried doing the paint by numbers with nothing but permanent marker?
No, that sounds amazing.
It might not start out psychedelic, it ends psychedelic, and I don't know how many brain cells you lose, but you don't care about halfway through.
Does the red marker smell like cherries?
If you get the scratchy stiff ones.
And RU is here.
Yeah, cherry.
Nice. So, I don't know where to go from that.
Where do we go from here now that all of the children have grown up?
That's really not helping, Madman.
Hey, Madman, who sings that?
I'll have to Google it. I don't remember. But I do know I saw them in concert.
How about we just let them sing it and you leave it the fuck alone, eh?
Hey, we do covers here. That could be amazing. Take audience sample here. Sacro, say I'm amazing. Okay, remain silent. Whatever.
Well,
hang me out to dry.
You need to remember that there's going to be a delay on the stream. It might be, I mean, we've tested it before. It can be a couple of seconds behind. Actually, I think we've seen it up to be like 30 seconds behind at one point.
On a bad day. I think it's about 5 or 6 at the moment.
Yeah, that's
for me anyway. That's reasonable.
Psychro says you're amazing.
Sweet. Close enough.
Took me a second to figure out what he did there.
I went to public schools. That works.
I think that might be an Overwatch joke. I'm not certain. Anyways, Let's go ahead and do the first story here. This is from abc.net.au, and I think I've already put the link in. Yeah, I did. Link's in the IRC and in the chat. Cool. Police chief refuses to tell Parliament about secret spyware with potential to target Aussie smartphones. New South Wales police have refused to reveal if defense lawyers are being spied on with electronic surveillance as part of criminal investigations. Police Commissioner Mick Fuller, is that the picture of the dude?
Yeah, that's correct. Him.
That's God. He looks like a cunt, and I mean that as the American.
He's a very
insult.
Nice not man, Morps. How dare you?
Not an Australian
How
greeting.
How dare you?
I mean, he just looks like a. Pud.
A lovely, beautiful man, and I hope him and his family have a lovely long life. How dare you, Morps?
Or are you sweating bullets over there?
He's not saying anything disparaging about his country or any officials.
I am merely commenting on his appearance as an internet TV producer. Police Commissioner Mick Fuller was questioned at budget estimates if his officers deployed spyware to monitor criminal defense lawyers through their mobile phones and other devices. Initially, he elected to take questions on notice, citing operational concerns. Later, in a written answer, Commissioner Fuller declined to answer and instead told New South Wales Parliament it is unclear from the question what spyware refers to. Security insiders have told the ABC that the NSW police has a license for Finfisher, powerful software tool sold by the international company called Gamma International and marketed as spyware. Governments and law enforcement agencies use the software to infect laptops, tablets, and smartphones of surveillance targets, such as outlaw banker gangs, terrorists, and drug smugglers. Once a device is infected, FinFisher can secretly switch on cameras and microphones to monitor targets, operating even when the devices are powered down. This is why if you do these kind of things, a smartphone that you can pull the battery out of is usually a good call, or just get a handful of burners so you can, you know, do the whole TV thing where after you're done with the call, you crack it in half and throw the phone over your shoulder.
Never understood the cracking in half bit.
Yeah, it didn't really do much except just to, you know, really, if you needed to do that, pull the SIM card out, break that in half, chuck it in the trash can, or better yet, break it into two pieces and put it into two different trash cans, and just put a new SIM card in. There's no real reason to smash the phone, unless it's actually got data on it.
Leave it on a public bus.
Huh?
Leave it on a public bus.
Well, at that point, you're just doing it for style points, right? Just trying to impress
people.
Look,
the reason he took these questions, and they're valid questions to ask, is we're going through a bit of a scandal here at the moment called Lawyer X. The police have been using defense lawyers as witnesses, but hidden witnesses. So you go in to your lawyer, you sit down, you tell your lawyer the truth, and that your lawyer goes off and becomes a state witness in the trial, that you don't know that that person is knocking on you. They can't do that anymore. It's been found to be illegal. So they need to tap the phones of your defense lawyers now.
I was going to say, isn't that like violate? I mean, is attorney-client privilege not a thing?
Well, obviously not in this country.
Well, I mean, if they're doing that, obviously. So.
Well, this woman was working as a state witness, but was also the defense lawyer for some criminal underground figures. So she was giving them the police tips about what was going to happen to arrest other people. Because this guy thought he had client privilege, confidentiality. But it turns out, no. So it is a fair question being asked.
That works for past crimes. Attorney-client privilege does not work with future crimes. So even if she has attorney-client privilege, she wasn't violating it. If the dude says, next week I'm going to go shoot Bob, she has no reason to keep that a secret. Now, if he said, last week I shot Bob, well, then attorney-client privilege works, at least in this country.
I think she was helping him gather evidence against her own clients. Like, maybe you should go around to Bob's house and dig down the backyard, 4 inches, and you'll find the gun.
Okay. Yeah, that's fucked
that's
up.
We haven't got to the end of that digging down. But, it is a valid question to be asking. And I think also, too, a lot of these politicians are shitting their fucking pants that they're going to get caught out doing deals with the Chinese behind Parliament's back. Because that's been happening quite a bit as well. So that would be the reason the federal cops aren't telling the local members and stuff like that, is because they're going to monitor them as well. So I think we're going through the same thing you guys are going through, man. I don't want to say deep state, but it's the bureaucracy behind Canberra that is cracking down on things. It may be compromised, we think.
So Commissioner Fuller broadly defended the use of high-tech surveillance for operations which required a warrant. We cannot use those sorts of powers without a legal right, he wrote. NSW Greens MP David Shoebridge, who put the question to NSW police, has criticized Commissioner Fuller's written response as contemptuous and lacking transparency. You'd think at a minimum he would have put in detail about what those legislative requirements were. The questions over breaching a client lawyer privilege in New South Wales come as a Melbourne barrister has been revealed as a police informer with the approval of senior police. Finn Fisher has attracted controversy over its use by repressive regimes in Egypt and Ethiopia against democracy activists. Mr. Shoebridge said, Defense lawyers were increasingly fearful about using their mobile phones. The level of concern rises as the seriousness of the criminal matters that they're dealing with increases. Well, if I was the defense lawyers and their phones are getting tapped, I'd be worried about the people they're quote-unquote defending, you know, looking for a little payback.
Ah, yeah. Now we'll talk about that offshore.
Yeah, I bet that's an issue. I bet that's a large issue. So, I'm not... And one of the things with this is it's kind of ballsy for the police to tell the government to get fucked.
I kind of depends. Is these federal cops, local cops, and what branch of the government do they fall under?
These are the feds. These are ASIO.
Okay.
They're the spy group. They do high-end target law enforcement. SAS soldiers and stuff for deep undercover work, things like that. They did good shit, man. Especially when it comes to arresting, like, child fucking traffickers and shit like that. And look, I have no real problem with backdooring federal politicians' phones. I'd like to know if they're doing corrupt deals.
Well, that's pretty much what most of our, warrantless wiretapping, all that shit really is doing, is they're mostly just, at least that's the suspicion, is they're mostly just monitoring politicians so that they can influence them.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Budgets and all that.
If it's the politician's phone, I'm kind of against it. Now, if the government's providing them a phone, then your employer can listen to your phone, I suppose. But just because you're working for the government doesn't mean you give up any of your rights.
No, we don't have a constitution, madman. Not like America, anyway. We don't really have any freedoms.
You don't have any recognized rights.
No, we don't. Well, we don't have the rights.
You still have them. Your government's just ignoring them.
They're just ignoring. Like, we don't have the right to assemble. We don't have the right of freedom of association. If I'm hanging out with a couple of people that are involved in a criminal conspiracy, I too could be wrapped up in that, even though I'm not fucking doing anything, because I associated with those people.
I didn't know that they were in a criminal conspiracy to insult the appearance of that police chief. I just...
Dude, they put a court order out on a father and his two sons can't associate with each other. Like, they can't even, like, so the two brothers can't talk to each other, and they can't talk to their father either.
Okay.
All because they rode motorbikes together.
How old are the kids?
Oh, 18 or older. They're riding motorcycles. They're part of
the MC. Yeah, they're part of an outlaw motorcycle gang. You know, it was a family affair, but once they declared outlaw bikers, you can't be one anymore. If you even put on cuts, you can go to prison. So they can't associate.
Oh.
So no Christmas, no birthdays, nothing. They're essentially the court. Well, they thought they'd pull a sneaky a few years ago and have a drink at a pub together. Cops were monitoring them, nailed them, sent them back to prison.
I think it's crap they're saying, well, there's a difference between a motorcycle club and an outlaw motorcycle club. Were they actually running meth and breaking the law, or were they just a bunch of dudes that got together and rode motorcycles?
No, there was... How it all came about, madman, is that there's always been an unwritten rule in the outlaw biker gang is don't fuck with regular people, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
The police won't really crack down on you too much unless you're blatantly, you know, selling meth out the front of a fucking primary school. One chapter leader got a little bit lippy one night down the Gold Coast, and the police soon realized that they were seriously outnumbered. And the police commissioner got very fucking frightened very quickly when they realized they didn't control the streets on the Gold Coast anymore, and they needed legislation to outlaw biker gangs. That's pretty much how that came about.
And it just went to outlawing all motorcycle clubs, or just the ones they caught doing something.
I think you can petition to ride together, but you can no longer wear cuts or dress the same or wear the same colors, things like that. You definitely can't have your cuts. That's gone.
Because I'm actually a member of an MC, and the only thing that connects them is once a month they go riding, and almost every member of the MC is a vet. If they're not a vet, they're the son of a vet.
Yeah, look, I'm not that deep into the whole motorcycle stuff, so I don't really know. I just know you can't wear your cuts, and you can't ride together, and you can't ride in a group of more than two people, I think, is an arrestable offense. That's,
a ride is like 12 people. Okay.
Yeah. No, six, I think that's...
Yeah.
I wouldn't go trying to win who wants to be a millionaire or anything on my advice there on... policing when it comes to MCs.
That's but still pretty fucked.
Yeah, when it's back to the whole story, though, have they found, like, defense attorneys come forward and said, hey, my phone has been bugged?
Oh, we'll probably find that out pretty soon in the next couple of years going forward. But I would just hesitate. It just means that the Americans don't monitor our phones anymore. We're monitoring our own phones, so the right to privacy is fucking no longer exists.
I don't think anyone's ever had a right to privacy. That's something made up. It's crap.
Well, it just means that if you're a defense attorney, you're going to start not taking your phone in when you're talking with your clients.
Yeah. Yeah, then you're going to have to start practicing, what do they call it?
OPSEC.
OPSEC, yeah. Which I'm good. I already do.
And just discuss things face-to-face.
Just assume. Well, and that's the thing, yeah. Right? You just assume that if your phone is not compromised, it will be. So just don't keep anything too pertinent on there. You know, maybe keep some nude selfies or something just to give the whoever gets into your phone something to look at. But, you know, other than that.
Fucking dick pics.
Yeah, you know, something.
Why you get dick pics?
Something so they think they got it. But, where's that soundboard?
Just in case you wanted to look at my phone, officer.
I don't think that was the right sound.
Towards a fucked up dystopia. And if they refuse, we'll find the shit out of them. We're not after your dick pics.
There it is. Been a while since we broke that one out.
Oh, madman, a bit of tragedy for you, mate. If you come to Australia now, you can no longer climb Ayers Rock. As of today, it's the last day anybody can climb Ayers Rock.
What's the fine for climbing the rock?
$10,000.
Environmentally protected or declared sacred?
Declared sacred.
Which religion?
Aboriginal.
I'm a convert.
All right, man. The test is they're going to put you out in the bush for 3 days, and you're going to have to try and eat stuff.
I'll read up on what I can and can't eat and then show you out back.
No, we're just going to help them out. When they're not looking, we'll just sneak them shit.
It doesn't work like that, madman. Every couple of hundred meters, man, the biomes completely switch. So what's growing here probably is not growing 100 meters up the street. You know what I mean?
Well, upside, I'm fat enough that if it's only 3 days, I'll work on drinking stuff that won't kill me.
Be a great weight loss program. Drink some dirty water out in the middle of nowhere, just diarrhea or fucking starvation.
I'm not loyal at first.
We'll call it the Survivor Man diet. We kidnap you, drive you out to the middle of the Australian outback, you know, slap some body paint on you for, you know, comedy, and dump you out in the road and say, we'll see you in a week. Come back. Yep, lost 50 pounds. There you go.
Yeah. And I'm now immune to three-fourths of the snakes in this area.
All right, let's get... Next article here. This one is from GitLab, about.gitlab.com. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's a fairly lengthy write-up where they're trying to explain it. But the short version is that they wanted to include telemetry. in both the enterprise offering and the self-hosted offerings for GitLab. Now, if anybody doesn't know what GitLab is, it's a open source Git-based code hosting platform. So it's like GitHub, but one where you can run yourself. And a lot of people started using it because it was open source and it wasn't owned by Microsoft like GitHub is. And they thought, you know, GitLab was going to be the responsible open source way to go for doing Git-based development. And, you know, I know people at work using it and shit like that. Well, GitLab said, we're going to start doing telemetry. And their initial thing was there's no way to turn it off, but if you, you know, go to each client and set this do not track cookie, it'll respect that. So you had to opt out to it on each individual client, which is just kind of like, what the fuck? I mean, talk about missing the point of, you know, an open source platform, right? One that's supposed to not spy on you. Now, they've had an update a couple hours ago, I think, where basically so many people lost their shit over it, they've decided they're gonna roll it back and rethink their approach. So, you know, they're going to give people sufficient time for feedback on new proposals. Basically, the feedback was so vicious, and so I'm betting they had a lot of people call and say, if you keep this up, we're going to cancel it. We're not going to pay for enterprise. We're going to move to something else, especially with something like GitLab, where it is open source. Yeah, Cypress just said it in the IRC. You can fork it from an earlier version. Actually, they said GitLab Core will continue to be free software. But so you could grab Core and just not do the enterprise features. Or, you know, Git itself, the underlying software, is open source. So there's probably 100 other alternatives out there, you know, for working with it. Not as nice, probably, but, you know, plenty of alternatives out there. So, yeah, I kind of get where they panicked and when everybody lost their mind over it. But I'm just wondering what they were thinking on telemetry on a code platform. I mean, seriously? That's what you want to do? You want to? I mean, think about how many different financials and other companies are going to, you know, panic at the idea of their IP in the code that makes their secret sauce work being subject to telemetry? I mean, are you kidding?
You gotta wonder how many financial institutions were using it. I can see a bunch of retailers just not noticing and then their shit being sold.
So, yeah, and they were going to add it in the form of JavaScript, so you had to go in and add it to, like, an ad block or set the do not track cookie and shit like that. And it's just like, really, guys? That's, like, one of the biggest fuck-ups you can do that's got everybody up in arms. So, I mean, the fact that they backed off today is kind of like, okay. But still, you got to wonder who was smoking what to come up with that idea.
I already see the way it was, way it happened. They some dudes in a board meeting were like, you wouldn't believe how much money we can make by selling this information that no one really knows that we can track. And yeah, it's free money. We're just leaving it on the table.
You're probably right about that. So
if it costs you nothing and it's making you 3 cents per, I don't know, would it be query? I'm not even sure how you'd break down each individual track.
It wouldn't be query. It'd be something like three cents per user per day or something like that.
Yeah, it adds up to dollars eventually.
Oh, sure. And GitLab's not a small user base. There's a lot of people using it. So, but, I mean, that's just a quick way to burn trust in the community, especially a community that's going to be paying attention, like developers, you know?
And you're also kind of saying, hi, I'm Microsoft, without possibly the tech support options that Microsoft was giving you.
Well, yeah, and not to mention that, but Microsoft is going to be under constant scrutiny because of their size from, like, government and antitrust and shit like that. You know, whereas a smaller open source company can probably get away with a lot more abuses before, you know, people lose their shit over it. I'm not saying Microsoft wouldn't abuse it. I'm just saying they'd be less likely to get as far with it just because they get more attention.
They get caught sooner.
Yeah, more attention on it. So, in fact, GitLab was what everybody said to migrate to when Microsoft bought GitHub. So, you know, them doing the same behavior is just surprising, I guess. Well, no, you're right. Somebody went into the company and said, hey, look how much money we could make. It's like, I like money.
We should hang out.
Yeah.
Like, money's amazing. And check what the bonus check you can write yourself is.
Yeah, you're probably exactly right, and that's what happened. So, thoughts on that one, are you?
No, nothing really. I was too busy having a moment.
Fair enough.
I jumped up real quick to grab the water. Yeah, jumped up real quick. I caught myself.
You all right?
Almost. Yeah, I just forgot all about it. Just got up as quick as I could to get water. Whoa, everything's going black.
Oh, hold up, dude. What are you doing drinking water? Today's not the day to drink water. Today is the day to drink a six-pack because it's going to feel like a case.
Oh, in roughly 4 hours, Madman, we'll start that.
So, fair enough. Next article, or you sent me this one. This is from thebbc.com. The BBC has made its international news website available via the Tor network in a bid to thwart censorship attempts. This is interesting because this is actually kind of the intended use of Tor rather than, you know, hiding and doing black market shit. So, the Tor browser is privacy-focused software used to access the dark web. The browser can obscure who is using it and what data is being accessed, which can help people and governments and avoid government surveillance and censorship. Countries including China, Iran, and Vietnam are among those who have tried to block access to the BBC news website or programs. Instead of visiting bbc.co.uk/news or bbc.com/news, users of the Tor browser can visit the new BBC, oh God, BBC News V2V JTPSUY.onion web address rolls right off the tongue. Clicking this web address will not work in a regular web browser. The dark web copy of the BBC News website will be the international edition as seen from outside the UK. It will include foreign language services such as BBC Arabic, BBC Persian, and BBC Russian. But the UK-only content and services such as BBC iPlayer will not be accessible due to broadcast rights. And then the rest of the article explains what Onion Router is. So I don't think we need to cover that. But it's interesting that the BBC is putting their international page up on a Tor site. I mean, that is the intended use of Tor.
It says something about the British government, doesn't it? Their own broadcasting network has to hide from its own government just in case they run afoul of the speech acts that they have.
Well,
that's what I'm taking away from it.
Kinda, maybe. I mean, I'm seeing it. It's like, you know, normally if you're going to run a Tor site, you're trying to hide who you are with running the site. I think if it's the BBC Darknet site, you still kind of know who's doing it. You can just get at it through Tor. So if you're on a web, you know, a network that's censored, but lets Tor out, which is honestly kind of uncommon. Like, if I'm blocking the BBC, I'm probably blocking Tor. But, you know, hey, I whatever works, right? So, you know, it's an interesting usage. And like I said, it is the actual intended usage of Tor, which is to try to get around censorship. That's why the Navy actually funded a bunch of the research of it. So,
I wonder why they didn't just go with BBC.onion. I don't think that was taken.
You can't. The dot onion sites are, you know, they have to have some gobbledygook in them because I forget exactly how it works. It's been forever since I read up on it, but there's a reason their addresses are like that. So.
But I'm going to have to disagree with you. When you said it wasn't for black market, Tor's always been for black market. It's just we always think of black market things as really, really bad things because we don't live in a shithole country and you can get away with a lot of stuff. Black market is whatever your government doesn't want you to see.
That's a fair point.
Or buy.
Or trade in, yeah.
And Psychros in the IRC is saying .onion addresses are hashes. He is correct on that. I'm just forgetting the specifics of the hashing algorithm. So it's been a while since I read up on that. I probably need to reread it at some point.
Well, congratulations, Psychros. For that, you get to make your own t-shirt.
What, onion hash? That's only good if you throw corned beef and potatoes with it.
Ba-dum-bum.
I'm just thinking, what am I having for lunch now, Madman? Thanks.
Sometimes it's joke lands. Sometimes your friends leave you hanging. You know, I mean, it happens.
It happens.
It does.
So.
Now when you, Silk Road doesn't exist anymore, does it?
There's several copies.
Someone's picked it up.
Not in any form like it used to.
No, because it got splintered off into a whole bunch of different copies.
Okay.
So, and if you talk to the Dread Private Robertson, he's probably an FBI agent.
Like the guy that they arrested for that, I forget his name. Has he gone to trial yet?
Yeah, they sent him to prison, I think.
Because I thought there was more than one Dread Pirate Robinson running tour. Like, it wasn't just one guy. They were sharing handles.
As far as Silk Road, there were a few guys on it. One dude was just an ultra-libertarian and would actually throw movie parties on the site. And just do... like a science theater 3K lampoon of something.
Mm.
Pretty cool sounding guy.
Yeah.
Psychros is saying Ross Ulbricht, and apparently he got a few life sentences out of it.
Wow. Because I remember I was following that for a while, and then it sort of fell off the radar. Damn, that sucks, man. Because I genuinely believe that kid was part of it, but he wasn't the guy. If you know what I mean.
Yeah, he probably wasn't. There's probably a group of people who were, like you said, there were a group of people running it. But, you know, they found their scapegoat. And, you know, the rest of the guys got away with it, I guess. I don't know. But
yeah.
Anyways. Fuck. Do the next one here. This is from... What the hell? There we go. Paste. TFIR.org, although I saw this article all over the place, and it does affect me personally, as I have a Note 10. Samsung kills Linux on decks with the Android 10 rollout. Samsung has reportedly sent out an email, and yes it has, to a relatively small number of its customers that it's shutting down the Linux on decks, or also known as Linux on Galaxy, beta program. The South Korean company warned users that it would no longer provide support for the program for future operating systems and devices. To be fair, they hadn't updated it in a while either. Samsung, this affects a really small number of people, but for the people it was working for, it was a really nice platform. Samsung also said that its Android 10 update won't support the open source operating system as a desktop environment. It's not clear yet why the tech giant decided to end its Linux on Dex beta program after only 11 months after its launch. Remember, Samsung joined hands with Canonical last year on this app. Talked about turning your phone into a PC. Samsung has reportedly said to 9to5 Google, "Thank you for supporting Linux on Dex beta. The development of Linux on Dex was thanks to customer interest and valuable feedback. Unfortunately, we are announcing the end of our beta program and will no longer provide support on future OSs and device releases. Note, Linux on Dex will not be supported on Android 10 beta. Once you update your device to Android OS 10, you will not be able to perform a version rollback to Android Pie. If you decide to update the device to Android 10 beta, we recommend backing up your data before continuing." So, pretty much, what Linux on Dex was, Dex was a Samsung kind of a proprietary feature that you could hook the smartphone up to a USB-C dock and an HDMI port and turn it into a desktop. And I used it on a couple of my phones. I used it on my current phone. And actually, on my current phone, they even added a thing where you can run a piece of software on Windows and get a Dex desktop, kind of like a VNC window over the USB-C cable. And it's a really nice feature in very certain situations. So where I've gotten the most use out of it is where, for whatever reason, I can't use my laptop. Either I've gone traveling with a group or with family and didn't bring a laptop with me but needed a computer, or you know, my laptop at work was, you know, something was going on with it and I needed to get on a WebEx, so unhook the monitor, hook it up to the dock, and be able to use Dex. And admittedly, not a lot of people use this. One, because you have to have a fairly high-end smartphone for it. But two, you have to have a fairly high-end Samsung smartphone for it. And then three, people who have high-end Samsung phones, very few of them actually need to be able to turn the thing into a desktop computer. Most of them will have a laptop for that kind of thing. The only other time I've gotten a lot of good use out of it was staying in a hotel room, hooking the phone up to the TV, watch Netflix. That worked pretty well, actually, because the hotel Wi-Fi sucked and the phone's connection was fairly decent. But that point aside, Linux on Dex will actually let you get a full Ubuntu desktop on the Dex environment, and that was cool because it's basically anything you could run on Raspi, you could run on the phone in the Dex environment on this. It's kind of a cheroot where you would VNC into it, but it was still functional. And they were pushing it as a development tool, and it was pretty useful. It was pretty fun to play with, but you know, it didn't run exceptionally well, but they hadn't updated it in a long time. So, like, they had never added support for the Note 10. They had, you know, never added support for the latest tablets. And now they've just dropped it. So, it's kind of disappointing.
Sounds like they're struggling to figure out what they really want.
Well, it's one of these things where it's a neat feature, but the user base for that is actually probably so small that I understand why they dropped it. And they probably wasn't making them very much in the way of money or sales. So it was more of a tech demo.
I wonder how
demo.
Much it was costing them.
Well, it was probably a tech demo some of their developers put together and then would work on in spare time. And, of course, who actually has spare time these days, especially if you're a developer? So I'm sure that's what happened is it's just they didn't have anybody they were willing to dedicate to it. Nobody was willing to budget, you know, for continuing it out of their team, so it got dropped. I mean, I'm certain that's what happened. That's what always happens with corporate stuff is, you know, it has to come out of somebody's budget, and nobody was probably willing to dedicate the time or something to, especially to something that's going to have little to no feedback.
They're going to get no feedback, and therefore no back patting for a job well done.
Yeah. Well, not only that, there are third-party utilities you can load on Android phones to get Linux distros installed. You could argue they're not as nice, they're not as well-developed, and the ones I've played with, that's somewhat true, but they work on Dex too. So, you know, the one I was playing with is User Land? No, what's it called? One second while I get my phone and look.
I have no idea.
It is Userland.
Okay.
And it's a freebie, and you can load it on pretty much any Android phone and, you know, play around with the Linux desktop. Now, without something like a Dex or another machine, it's kind of a difficult usage case to use a full Linux desktop on a phone, right? But
I don't know. Some of the larger screen phones might not be too bad.
Well, and apparently Google is talking about adding like an official version of what Samsung's been doing with Dex to just Android native, and that might even be coming in Android 10. So I can see Samsung is probably trying to move away from their independent development to just merge what they have with what other Google's doing. So
yeah, if Google's already announced they're going to do it, why pay someone in my company to do something that Google's going to do for free?
Yeah. So that might be the other reason, is they might have just kind of dropped a lot of stuff related to that to see what Google's going to do. But I've used my phone as a thin client to get into Citrix desktops and VMware nodes and shit like that before with Dex, and that was actually kind of useful. So Oh, yeah, yeah. Psychros has a good point. That'd be nice with, like, a heads-up display like an Oculus. I could see that working. Like, you get the little cheapy Oculus Go, then remote into your phone to get it your Linux desktop running on your phone. So, I could see that. That'd be almost Cyberdeck territory at that point, wouldn't it? Of course, if you're out and about using an Oculus headset, I don't blame somebody for, you know... Well, I could just see people being abused for trying to use a VR headset in public.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like, you see somebody...
I'm the first one.
You see somebody at Starbucks sitting there with a headset strapped to their forehead, you know somebody's stealing their wallet. I mean...
Damn right. Couple of extra bags of sugar in the coffee. Unclipping that dog from the chair or the runaway. Yeah, I don't think wearing augmented reality in public is just quite there yet.
Not unless you're going to set up trip lines of some sort, so somebody gets close to you, it kills the headset.
Exactly.
You need something that lets you still see the real world, like the Google Glass or something.
Well, the Oculus has a pass-through mode you can activate, but that Gear VR I've got, I've had I was playing Star Wars and the battery died. That's a little jarring. So because you're sitting there, fighting with a lightsaber and suddenly the world goes black. So I could see getting distracted enough, even if you're out in public, to not think to occasionally check the surroundings and make sure that you don't have a bunch of ninjas with knives around you or something. So...
Wrong neighborhood.
Yeah, wrong neighborhood to play Gear VR or whatever. So... Anyways, next article, I've got the TechCrunch article, but of course this thing's everywhere. NordVPN confirms it was hacked.
Womp womp.
And actually a bunch of the YouTube channels that were heavily promoting Nord have all dropped it because it's like, nope.
Yeah, nobody touches it after that.
Well, how can you?
That's it. The trust is lost.
So NordVPN, a virtual private network provider that promised to protect your privacy online, has confirmed it was hacked. The admission comes following rumors that the company has been breached. It first emerged that NordVPN had an expired internet private key or internal private key exposed, allowing potentially anyone to spin out their own servers pretending to be NordVPN. The VPN providers are increasingly popular as they essentially provide privacy from your internet provider and visiting sites about your internet browsing traffic. That's why journalists and activists often use these services, particularly when they're working in hostile states. These providers channel all of your internet traffic through one encrypted pipe, making it more difficult for anyone on the internet to see which sites you are visiting or which apps you are using. But often this means displacing your browsing history from your internet provider to your VPN provider. That's left many providers open to scrutiny, as often it's not clear if each provider is logging every site a user visits. For its part, NordVPN has claimed a zero logs policy. We don't track, collect, or share your private data, the company says. But the breach is likely to cause alarm that hackers may have been in a position to access user data. NordVPN told TechCrunch that one of its data centers was accessed in March of 2018. So this has been going on for over a year. One of the data centers...
And they just now noticed it or just now fessed up to it?
Just now fessed up.
Fessed up.
That's why everybody's dropping them as far as a security company goes, because you look at it like this. Breaches happen, right? It's how you deal with them that determines whether you're a good security company or not. So if you get breached and you're notifying people the moment it happens... And, like, here's what happened, we've done a couple of articles on some companies that have done this right. It's pretty rare. But we have talked about companies that do it right. And
yeah, here's what happened. This is what we're doing to fix it. This is what we think may have been compromised. You should be good, whatever.
Yeah. But, NordVPN apparently sat on this for a year. One of the data centers in Finland we are renting our servers from was accessed with no authorization, said NordVPN spokesperson Laura Tyrell. The attacker gained access to the server, which had been active for about a month, by exploiting an insecure remote management system left by the data center provider. NordVPN said it was unaware that such a system existed. NordVPN did not name the data center provider, so they're blaming their colo as opposed to themselves. The server itself did not contain any user activity logs. None of our applications send user-created credentials for authentication, so usernames and passwords could not have been intercepted either, said the spokesperson. On the same note, the only possible way to abuse the website traffic was by performing a personalized and complicated man-in-the-middle attack to intercept a single connection that tried to access NordVPN. Depending on what this server was, if they've rooted that box, they could just watch the egress and get a lot of information. Now, you don't need the logs if you are doing that man-in-the-middle attack, right? So, I don't know that I would write it off as unlikely as this spokesperson's presenting it as. According to the spokesperson, the expired private key could not have been used to decrypt the VPN traffic on any other server. No, but it would let you set up fake NordVPN servers for doing man-in-the-middle attacks. And those aren't hard to do. Especially if you can get a hold of DNS.
That was the big complaint. Like, they didn't come out and tell us straight away. And everyone's pissed.
Yep. NordVPN said it found out about the breach a few months ago. But the spokesperson said the breach had not been disclosed until today because the company wanted to be 100% sure that each component with our infrastructure is secure. Senior security researcher we spoke to who reviewed the statement and other evidence of the breach, but asked not to be named as they work for a company that requires authorization to speak to the press, called these findings troubling. While this is unconfirmed and we await further forensic evidence, this is indication of a full remote compromise of the provider's systems, the security researcher said. That should be deeply concerning to anyone who uses or promotes these particular services. NordVPN said no other server on our network has been affected. Depending on how they've set up their administration, that may or may not be true. If they're doing proper jump hosts and the jump hosts aren't actually used anywhere in the service, okay, probably not. But if this was one of the jump hosts, the security researcher warned that NordVPN was ignoring the larger issue of the attacker's possible access across the network. Your car was just stolen and taken on a joyride, and you're quibbling about which buttons were pressed on the radio, the researcher said. The company confirmed it had installed intrusion detection systems, a popular technology that combines companies used to detect early breaches, but no one could know about an undisclosed remote management system left by the data center provider. Excuse me. I about lost my shit. It's called scanning your servers. No one could know about an undisclosed remote management system left by the data center provider unless you routinely scan your servers. What ports are they listening on, and are they what they're supposed to be? It's a fairly routine process, and it's not weird. There are many companies that sell you services for doing just that, Qualys and Tenable being the two most common. I've used both. They're okay. I like Tenable better personally, but most companies use Qualys. Or you can script up Nmap and dump the output into a sim and occasionally look for anomalies. It's not that hard. Oh, look, my infrastructure map says this server should be running on these five ports, and there are six ports open. Gee, what's that sixth port? This is not a weird thing to do. In fact, a lot of companies, now the policy is, like where I work, before the thing can go live to production, whatever the new service is, we get to scan it and make sure that there's nothing on there that shouldn't be. Sorry. NordVPN said that it disputes this. I'm not bitter. Why do you ask? We treat VPN servers as untrusted in the rest of our infrastructure. It's not possible to get access to other VPN servers, user databases, or any other server from a compromised VPN server, the spokesperson said. Okay, well, that might be true. They spend millions on ads, but apparently nothing on effective defensive security, the researcher said. NordVPN was recently recommended by TechRadar and PC Mag. CNET described it as a favorite VPN provider. It's also believed that several other VPN providers may have been breached around the same time. Similar records posted online and seen by TechCrunch suggest that Torgard and Viking VPN may also have been compromised. A spokesperson for TorGuard told TechCrunch that a single server was compromised in 2017, but denied that any VPN traffic was accessed. TorGuard also put out an extensive statement following a May blog post, which first revealed the breach. Updated with a comment from TorGuard and additional comment from Nord. So, yeah, they updated the article since it was originally written. But, yeah, I mean, it's hard to pick something like a VPN provider that you can just emphatically trust. All you can do is look at their history and look at how these things are handled and, you know, hope you're not getting taken for a ride, I guess. Or use multiple.
Yeah, it's an option if you can afford it.
And, you know, you don't mind your traffic being ungodly slow. So.
Well, you could use the Cheapskate way and start page. Front page, I think. Hold on.
No, it's start page. Front page is an old Microsoft technology. Front page extensions. For writing web pages with Microsoft Word. Anyways, continuing the trend of things getting hacked. This one's from theinquirer.net. Oh, Madman, do you have anything on the VPN before I moved on?
No, I just, if you have a service, keep track of how they're doing and be ready to switch to another provider.
Pretty much, right? I mean, I use private internet access, and anytime I hear about VPN breaches, that's the first one I'm looking for, just because the name on that one makes me think it's got to be a scam company, right? It's not. Like, it's one of the best VPN providers there is right now. But it's just a goofy name because it sounds like a fly-by-night operation. So.
And number one, VPN operator.
It turns out that's one of the better ones. What the fuck? I mean, that's kind of how that worked out. So I've used that one for years, and I've been waiting to hear if anything bad happens with it. And they did have an incident a while back where some of their OpenVPN setup had an issue, and they did the right thing. Like, they posted about it pretty damn quick and, you know, what the fix was and stuff like that. So, you know, I mean, if a company handles a breach well, that's a sign of a good company. It's not that they got breached. It's how do they handle it and they disclose what's happened, right? So, you know, if you got your infrastructure managed and you know shit's happening, and you quickly remediate it, and then you're public about, yeah, we got breached, and here's what your exposure was, that's the right way to do it. Most companies don't want to do it because it looks bad. But that actually, they think it looks bad. It actually looks good. So, I don't know.
Well, it looks good to people that know what they're doing and realized everyone's going to get hacked. I think they're... How many normies do you think would hear this and be like, oh, that's a responsible company. They're coming forth and saying something, or how many are going to think this has been hacked?
So,
like, I never heard of Bob getting hacked, and that's because Bob shot every witness.
So, anyways,
I'd say somebody inside of Nord blew the whistle on that one.
It was one of their keys showed up in a dump with a few other servers.
Oh, okay.
And they were able to track back that was an expired SSL cert. So, with TorGuard, I think you could actually pay for that one with Bitcoin as well. So even if they did get breached, it's possible they'd have no way of tying it back to you other than just your real IP. So, nothing but a token to log in with. So Cycross in IRC is saying proxy.sh is good. I've never used that one, but he says it's good because you can go in and clear it out. And apparently that one takes BTC. So you can set up an account with that one and not actually identify who you are. So anyways, next one up is from the Inquirer. Unsecured database exposes 179 gigs of U.S. Army and government personnel data.
Damn.
If that's all text, that can be a shit ton of files.
Exactly.
It's a database, so it's probably structured text.
Yep.
179 gigs of sensitive data belonging to the U.S. Army and government personnel was exposed thanks to an unsecured cloud server run reservation platform AutoClerk. The data leak was spotted and detailed by researchers at VPN Mentor, which noted that the exposed database contained the personal data of users of AutoClerk, as well as an overview of hotel guests and their travel reservations. In some cases, this included their check-in time and room number. It affected thousands of people across the globe, with millions of new records being added daily, the researcher said. AutoClerk, which is used to handle reservations for hotels, was recently bought and deployed by Best Western Hotels and Resorts Group, with VPN Mentor said potentially meant one of the largest hotel chains in the world had its data exposed. However, the data exposed didn't belong to regular holiday markets, but rather U.S. government and military staff. Fuck. Our team viewed highly sensitive data, exposing the personal details of government and military personnel, their travel arrangements to locations around the world, both past and future, the researchers explained. This represents a massive breach of security for the government agencies and departments impacted. The unsecured database was discovered on the 13th of September and closed on October the 2nd after the VPN Mentor got in touch with U.S. Embassy in Tel Aviv, and from what the author can tell, the company has Israeli roots. The U.S. CERT was initially contacted but failed to respond to the alert. One would have expected the U.S. to take the exposure of military-related data rather seriously. Given 179 gigs of data is a hefty amount, there was scope for potentially malicious folks who might have stumbled across an unsecured database to cause all manner of havoc with the data it contained, but it looks like no nefarious fellows managed to get their mitts on the data. Neither AutoClerk or Best Western has released a statement following the security snafu. The situation is yet another that highlights how sticking things on cloud-based servers might seem like an easy way to store data, but if strong security practices aren't implemented, then it's an easy way to expose a lot of data to the internet. So what would a hotel have? Name, address, credit information, like payment, credit cards.
Address.
Phone number.
Mm-hmm. Room number.
Reservation history.
Vehicle registration.
Yeah.
Driver's license card. Number, yeah. Possibly. Mobile actual phone. Image of the driver's license.
Yeah, mobile phone details. Quite a bit of stuff, man.
So not good stuff for anybody, but especially for military.
So this was a company that had reservation stuff, and it was just... So it was outside the chain of the U.S. military, right?
Yeah, right. It's a Best Western. It's a hotel chain.
Yeah. Okay. And so it's a contractor the hotel chain was using for online services.
Yep. I was going to say, because that would mean that if that was U.S., like Army or something, that would mean that Amazon have had their data center breached.
No, this was just somebody.
No, it's not.
It sounds like somebody was using, they said, a cloud service. Usually that's Amazon. And they were
but
just...
if they only took that data of U.S. military service, right?
Yeah.
That means that hotel chain was keeping all that information, was segregating it.
Yeah, they got the military database.
So it wasn't just under their everyday check-ins and check-outs, right?
Depending on how much military business they do, they may have a separate service because they may be coordinating with which one of their hotels on travel plans.
Well, they probably give them a good rate, too.
Yeah,
is going to be in New York at this time, and then in Hawaii at this time. Best Western owns a chain of hotels, not all named Best Western. Just moving him along with his itinerary.
I'm just trying to think of the most nefarious way I could use this information. That's all. As in, why is it? I'm seeing why it's petitioned away from public now. Because you're a yes, as in, like, because they're getting a better deal and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, don't worry about me. I'm being all James Bondy over here, trying to figure out there's something worse with this, but it's just breach of data.
Well, I mean, if you're foreign adversary, you potentially get the itinerary of, highly placed military personnel. So, you know, kidnapping, assassination.
That would be staying in a low security
area.
Facility. Yeah. Yeah. Good point.
So, that comes up, or potentially since you're getting payment information, you could just simply use it for, your standard issue identity theft, credit theft.
Yeah.
We have here on the reservation that you checked in for three, but your wife wasn't with you, sir. blackmail.
Oh, Yeah, blackmail.
Because if that database had security in it, there's potential that they had security footage.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you're right.
Or reports from the rooms. Like if somebody trashed a room, you'd know that going there. So, you know, potential blackmail issues. I would think that would be pretty situational, but I mean, it's not impossible. I think that'd be more of a Vegas thing, but you know, still.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, I just thinking about this, maybe not blackmail so much, but exposure of classified ops. Because if you have a large number of people meeting out in the middle of bumfuck Idaho, why are all these important people out in bumfuck Idaho? Now you've, you know, exposed some operation or some secret base or something. I don't know. Some meeting.
Listening post or something.
Yeah. Or just a meeting, you know. You know, we had all these important people staying at a Best Western, you know, at a, you know, in Tel Aviv. I don't know. And, you know, there was an off-the-books meeting in Tel Aviv. I don't know. You know, shit like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of speculation.
Sacro says military personnel tend to have better than average credit, so it's a higher quality data set just based on that alone. Yeah, that works.
Yeah, good point.
So. And the last article I have for tonight, were we done with that?
Yeah,
we're done with that.
Beat that to death. Yeah.
Last article I have for tonight is from the Register. And this is, you know, again, yet another something was hacked, but we're doing this one just purely on comedy. Japanese hotel chain sorry that hackers may have watched guests through bedside robots.
I thought you were going to say toilet cameras.
What's the function of a bedside robot?
I don't really know. Japanese hotel chain.
Stop you from masturbating.
Oh, sir, you're using bad technique. Can I help? Give instruction.
Get the female maid.
You have claws for hands. No.
If it's a bedside robot with claws for hands, I think we've got a bigger issue. Japanese hotel chain HIS Group has apologized for ignoring warnings that its in-room robots were hackable to allow pervs to remotely view video footage from the devices. The Hin-Na Hotel is staffed by robots. Guests can be checked in by humanoid or dinosaur. So the clause is an actual problem here. Humanoid or dinosaur reception bots before proceeding to their room. Dinosaur reception bots. Suddenly, Madman's claw joke is now just terrifying.
Yeah, it's relevant.
Facial... Hey, they're called scalies, gentlemen, and you shouldn't judge.
I will fucking kink shame you to hell, young man. I don't care what you have to say in 2019.
Tauntauns, Mr. President.
Facial recognition tech will let customers into their rooms, and then a bedside robot will assist with other requirements. Other requirements was not in quotes, by the way. However, several weeks ago, a security researcher revealed on Twitter that he had warned HIS Group in July about the bed bots being easily accessible, noting that they supported unsigned code allowing a user to tap an NFC tag on the back of the robot's head and allow access via a streaming app of their choice. Oh, geez. So they were doing code injection and NFC tags to get the robot to just run whatever. Having heard nothing, the researcher made the hack public on the 13th of October. The vulnerability allows guests to gain access to cameras and microphones in the robot remotely so they could watch and listen to anyone in the room in the future. The hotel is one of a chain of 10 in Japan, which uses a variety of robots instead of meat-based staff. So far, the reference is only to Tapia robots at one hotel, and although it is not clear if the rest of the chain uses different devices. Tapia robots. I'm curious what those are. They're these little egg-based looking things, so it's a like a Siri kind of looking thing? Or an Alexa?
Yeah, weird.
With a screen with eyes on it. That's just creepy. Okay. The HIS group tweeted, "We apologize for any uneasiness caused," according to the Tokyo Reporter. The paper was told that the company had decided the risks of unauthorized access were low, however, and the robots have now been updated. The chain has suffered a bunch of other issues with the robots, including a problem with voice recognition systems, recognizing guests snoring, and a failure of the reception dinosaurs to understand guests' names. Well, at least there's no reports of the reception velociraptors eating anybody.
Fuck. Oh, I can just see it now, snoring. Yes, we've added 50 pallets of toilet paper to your Amazon account. Oh, you want scotch sent to the room? No, I'm sorry. We do not have time on these man-boy hookers.
We have miniature T-Rex robots. We can send you one of those.
God, what's it doing to the Roomba?
Oh, you want chicken wings for breakfast? Yes, sir.
Where's Big when we need him?
It'd be more like, I don't understand that command. Can you please repeat yourself? I still don't understand the command. Can you repeat yourself?
All right. Unfortunately, I do not have instructions on how to hack the hooker robots, the hooker dinosaur robots. This is getting weird. Okay, I've only got one thing for you tonight in Digital Dojo, and that's a pretty good video the 8-Bit guy posted on YouTube detailing how phone phreaking worked and actually giving a demonstration of an older Commodore 64 program for doing red and blue boxing and demonstrating war dialing and a few other things. Largely irrelevant in today's system, but historically super interesting, and it gives a pretty good talk on it. So he's got some other stuff on there about the conference he gave the talk at, but the talk itself is worth watching, especially if you have any interest in the history of this stuff, or, you know, if you remember doing war dialing and, you know, getting...
Yay, free phone calls!
Yeah, about that. Anyways, Oh, I figured out how to open up those poles and how to tap into... Anyways,
Do you ever see how to turn your friend's home phone into a payphone?
I never saw that one, but the neighborhood cross connect for the telecom, the little utility pole, was in my backyard. So I figured out how to open the thing. And constructed a crude lineman's handset. So I had some fun. And may have cross-connected a few of the neighbors to force them to listen to each other.
One of my favorite phone freaking stories, a little asshole turned his friend's phone service into a payphone. So every time he tried to make a phone call, it wouldn't do anything because it was waiting to hear the quarter being deposited. There's no place to deposit a quarter in your home phone.
That's funny.
Nice. That is cool.
The only thing with the video is he had a different definition of a blotto box than I remembered. Because he talks about being a blotto box being the thing that would make all the phones on that circuit ring. Which, you know, he explains obviously why you electrically couldn't do it, which... He's right, but I always remembered the blotto box as being the thing that would put as much noise down the line as possible for, like, when, you know, telemarketers called you to blow out their headset.
Okay.
So what was the box pretty much that was the Captain Crunch whistle to just let you play the tones in the
blue
speaker
box
and get your call?
That was the blue box, and actually the video does a pretty good job of explaining how you did it. So, and why it worked, and what that tone really did. So, it's a good watch from that point of view, if nothing else. Also explains some red boxing, which is, you know, the trick of playing the tones from the payphone. So, you know, simulating quarters and stuff like that through a payphone. But, anyways, like I said, it's historical mainly, but... It's worth a watch. so.
Ooh, I kind of want to track down one of the remaining payphones in the U.S. and try something now.
So I can tell you when we were in high school, they fixed a lot of these problems by switching to digital trunking as well as reworking how payphones worked. Because at one point we were prank calling the Dell support line with the classic version of a red box, which was a tape recorder with the tones on it in our freshman year. But it stopped working in our sophomore year.
They caught on to you.
Yeah, well, we kept prank calling the same support service because it was really funny to listen to them try to, you know, give bullshit answers to why things were working. So it's like, yeah. So I put my Lemmings disc in the CD drive, the one you have to push the disc in and turn the little lever down on. And it's not working, and it's making a noise. What do I do?
Oh, you know, man.
See if they got
single-handedly causing someone's fucking alcoholism.
Yeah, kind of.
I just see this fucking 75-year-old dude propped up at the bar, man, just shaking on his first beer. Fucking kids. Yeah.
It's like they stuck a fucking CD drive in a floppy drive. What the fuck?
Fuck. Yeah.
Or my favorite. The favorite one I pulled was, the modem's not working. The modem, and you know, they asked for a model number of the computer, and I read off one that didn't have a modem in it. You know, well, your computer doesn't have a modem. Sure it does. I just cut the phone line and, you know, jammed it into the back of that weird looking long port. that won't work. Well, my friend said it would. Well, your friend's wrong. Well, my phone doesn't work now either. What am I supposed to do? just get all angry at him. And of course, you're high school kids, right? So, I mean, they figured it out pretty quick and just hang up on you.
Yeah. Is that it?
That's all I got. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on a peer decking every Thursday, or most of them. We almost ditched it tonight, actually, but most Thursdays. The Galaxy 15 radio site, the subreddit, in the IRC tonight, we had myself, Sardonic, Psychros, DPView, Eeyore, and Iron Angel. Madman, closing thoughts.
Bone freaking used to be fun?
Yeah, once you kind of figured it all out, it kind of got boring, truth be told.
Yeah, who do you call after a while? That's the problem.
BBS's.
The Buckingham Palace.
And are you? Closing thoughts.
If anyone's interested, Joe Rogan spoke to Edward Snowden for a couple of hours a few days ago. You can find that on his YouTube page. Kind of very, very interesting. But man, Snowden can go on, dude. But he is technically correct. The best kind of correct, but it was really interesting because he didn't assume you knew anything about what had happened to him. So he really goes into it. Apparently, he's got a new book out.
The Defense Department's suing him to take the revenue from the book.
Yeah. But no, it was a very, very interesting couple of hours if you've got the time to spare.
Hey, Sard. If you're going to talk shit, you got to call him in TeamSpeak and talk shit. Supposed to do it in the IRC. Sard hopped in the IRC. He's talking shit about you.
Oh, good. Good. I love it when someone's talking about me. Living free in my own head. All right. That's all I got.
That's all I got. All right. I'm going to start hitting sounds on the old soundboard here.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Let's go nose down and all the night.
You fuckers too.
BRB.